Welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. I'm Joanne Brakas with Walter Assey. As always, from Bernalco, he's the president of Bernalco. I'm giggling because this is, I had to do a retake there. I was talking and silly me, I forgot to turn my mic on. Welcome to the Home Improvement Show. You can always call us, 514-790-0800. Your best way to access Walter Assey, to ask him your questions for any project you have going in your house. Calling is the best way, 514-790-0800. Or you can text us. The best way, though, is through the phone line. Hi, Walter. How are you?
So you're talking. I'm hearing music in my headphones. Your lips are moving. I can't hear you.
Listen,
that's it. I hear voices in my head now.
I've been up very early. I host a morning show, but I'm very happy to be with you. I'm on my third cup of coffee, and we've got a great show.
I'm just very glad that noises in my head were not imaginary.
You are still here. You are still very, very, very sane. Listen, 514-790-0800. You can call Walter. You can ask him your questions. If you're listening to us in a different city and you're listening to us a little later on, you can always head on over to the Bernalco site and hit the Ask Walter button, by the way. Hit the Ask Walter button, and he will, or a member of his team will do their best. Actually, you answer all of those. Most,
all is a big
99,
word.
I mean, let's say 97.
A lot, but I do a lot. Like, I honestly, every time that I have free time, I crack on it and I try to answer all of you. I know it's great that I'm receiving it from all over the country. It's beautiful. I love that. And thank you for the compliments that I get every now and then as well. I don't get to.
And he's a star on social media, by the way. If you're not following the Bernalco page on Instagram, you should be. Patrick is on the line, 514-790-0800. Patrick has a question about his hot water, and primarily, I believe, the lack of the hot water. Patrick, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, take it away.
Yeah, I called last week, and you guys tried to help me out. I'm a bit perplexed because we didn't get any hot water, so I called the electricians to check the water tank, and they said the water tank's fine. It's the breaker. I talked to you last week about it. So I bought a new breaker, installed that, and still no hot water. Is there something I'm missing, or that I'm not doing right?
So let me ask you. You said the electrician came and he said it's not the element in the hot water tank.
Yeah, he checked. He told me to shut down the breaker system so he could check the hot water tank. And he took 5 minutes, charged me almost $200 to say it's not the hot water tank.
Okay, so why didn't he change the breaker then while he was there?
Here's the funny thing. He goes, oh, we're not in charge of that. You have to call the same company and call the electrician to change the breaker. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Okay, so, wait, it doesn't make sense. They sent you a guy to check the elements.
That's right.
And he said that he's an electrician that does not touch breakers?
Yeah, he goes, they check the tanks, and then we have to call the same company, Jay Doldway, there to check the breaker, another electrician to check
so
the breaker.
I don't think they send you an electrician, my friend.
Pardon me?
I don't think they send you an electrician.
Well, it's the Jay Doldway truck that came, so.
No, I know, but I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is, George Doldway is not a plumbing company. It's an. You sure you call the plumber or electrician?
Well, the plumbing.
Okay, so you did
the
call
plumbing.
Plumbing company.
The plumbing came, and then they said, "Well, they got to check. I didn't have to call the same company, but get an electrician to check the breaker." So I said, "You know what? I'm not going to pay that much again. So I'll change the breaker myself." So it was pretty simple.
So they checked the heating element, and the heating element was working.
They said it was fine.
Okay, so let me ask you a crazy question. And
sure.
Pardon my ignorance.
No.
If your breaker is not working, how did they test the heating element?
That's a good question then.
Did he get scammed? What happened
here? Well, I don't know. But I mean, obviously, a plumber came to check an electrical component. So that by itself is a red flag for me.
Right.
I honestly don't understand how they would have checked it if your breaker is the culprit.
They should have checked the breaker first then.
100%.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's a ridiculous situation.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. Unfortunately, you would have to call a master electrician and check it out again. I know it's not the best of scenarios, but...
Well, if I call them back, can they still charge me?
You know what? Call them back, make a complaint, tell them the guy said it's a breaker.
Yeah.
I don't know how he verifies my elements. If the breaker is not working. Now I change the breaker, it's still the same problem.
So and he already paid, so he should call them back.
That's
correct. Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm going to do that then.
Patrick, and I mean this in the best of ways, but we don't want to hear from you again because I want it to be solved. I want this problem.
Him. We can hear from him, but
Another problem. Or hear for the rest of your problems.
or if you have a solution, you have a good story, we'd love to know what the problem was.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, Patrick, thank you so much and good luck. Okay, Mark is on the line, and Mark has a question about a chimney removal. Am I getting this right, Mark?
Yes, well... I don't know if you'll recall, about this time last year, I called you saying I wanted to change my roof, but I had a chimney that wasn't not in use. And we talked about removing the chimney on the top and closing up the roof without touching the interior, which was okay, and it worked out well. Now I want to do the interior, so I want to know what kind of problems I may face. I'm thinking about removing the interior chimney myself, because it's going to be a long, expensive job, and then I want someone to redo my bathroom after I've removed the chimney. Now, what kind of problems am I going to face trying to bring down the wall? Well, the chimney's in the corner, so there's, the gyprock first, the painted gyprock. And then behind that, what am I going to encounter? That's my question.
Is this a brick chimney?
It was brick in the basement. It was brick on the roof. I'd imagine it's brick inside the bathroom, too. It's on the second floor. So now the chimney goes all the way down into the basement where the furnace used to be, which I removed when I bought the home.
Yeah.
I'm doing one step at a time.
Where are you going to have fun is in the attic.
There is no attic.
There's no
flat roof.
That's a flat roof. Okay, so it's actually a good problem because in most cases, that's where it gets to be very dicey. So there's not going to be issues. I mean, as long as you're starting from the top down and don't try to, if you want, get too overambitious and start from a lower floor and just let things collapse on you, in other words. So just keep on going down all the way to the basement where you want to stop it.
I just want to do this one floor. I'm not going through my kitchen because the mistake I did when I bought the house, I redid the kitchen completely. Now this thing goes through the kitchen. I don't want to touch that. I'm going to leave it there. I just want to take off the section in the second floor to enlarge my bathroom.
Okay. Well, I mean, so that's going to be really limited to a dicey type of dusty job with a lot of movement of brick and what have you. But there's no real, structural, as long as you do it slowly and not in any crazy fashion, you shouldn't encounter any issues. I mean, there are going to be reframing work to be done afterwards, for sure, all these openings.
Got it.
But there's not really a secret sauce to it.
Chimney. I don't know what's in a chimney. If there's metal or structure, I don't know.
What I would really more worry about, honestly, is the soot and the dust. What I would very strongly advise you to do is to build a containment zone around the area you're demolishing. And if you can rent a negative air machine with a HEPA negative machine just to suck all the particulate out, because you're going to have all kind of dust, you're going to have all kind of soot that's going to fly. And soot is very hard as a smell to get rid of, and it actually goes everywhere. So just try to limit as much as you can the dust propagation. That's going to be really your worst enemy. And your back is going to be number two.
Yeah.
I hope that helps you out, Mark. Thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. 514-790-0800, their best way to get to Walter Assey, president of Renofco. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, where you get to ask Walter Assey, president of Renofco, all of your home improvement questions. If you're starting a new project, if you think you've made a couple of mistakes, if you think you've been scammed along the way, 514-790-0800. Best way to reach us is on the phone. You can also text, but again, best to talk to Walter yourself. Dave is on the line, and Dave has a question about a sub pump and some power failures. Dave, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. Take it away, Dave.
Thank you. And your last word, scammed, brought me back to the reason for my call. A previous caller referring to his problem with the his hot water system and the electrical breaker and, you know, did he find an electrician? My question saw me have a plumber come in to check my sump pump and a backup system. A water-powered jet pump that would power me when the power went off. I'd found out that it was unserviceable and brought a crew in. They confirmed that the backup jet pump was in need of changing, but mentioned that they could not work on it because it was connected to the town's water supply and had to bring in another plumber. So I'm wondering... When you talk about scams, is this just a referral system to you call in additional, payments?
I mean, I don't particularly understand. You have a sump pump in a pit, and right. The plumber told you he can't service it because it's connected to the water system. Is that what I understood?
Yeah. Well, he came in, and when he came in a few weeks ago, the pit was still dry. Okay. The ground being frozen. Yeah. But I have this backup water powered system that you would kicks in when the hydro fails.
Yeah.
And I had checked that myself, knew that it was not running. He confirmed that.
Okay.
When he arrived, but said he could not do anything with it because it was connected to the public water system.
Okay, I mean, that doesn't make sense whatsoever.
Well, it didn't make sense to me either. No, so he left, and a couple of days later, another fellow arrived who was authorized to actually change the pump, which he did. But, you know, it seemed to be two service calls that could have been done with one.
Absolutely. So, I mean, chances are you get a technician, because we have to understand, like, some companies, there's some great companies out there, but there are not some great companies either out there as well. Not to judge what happened there, but they do, and when it comes to service, sometimes what they do is they send a junior plumber, an apprentice, technically not supposed to be alone.
They send a technician, not a qualified.
Because you have an apprentice, then you have a companion. So they probably send an apprentice because they figured it's a quick fix and it doesn't have a lot of liability for them. And the guy realized that he'd never done one of these before. So instead of telling you, oh, by the way, they send me here, but I don't know what I'm doing, he cocked it up a story so they can justify the two invoices for you to be paid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's probably what happened. I would definitely rate it. I would definitely complain about it. There's no common sense to the story. There's no logic, except that you had a technician that had no idea what he was doing and he wanted to call for backup, but he wanted you to pay for it.
So what do you do now? I would
raise it to, I would call the company. I would tell them, this is not right. You probably send me, an apprentice that was not qualified to do the work. And if you want to escalate, you can always ask him for his companion card. Tell him, I would like to have his companion card or I'm going to call the CMMTQ on him.
Well, you know, funny, you know, the first guys arrived with a truck with an RBQ number on it.
That doesn't mean anything, guys. That doesn't mean anything.
Apparently not.
It's not about the truck with the RBQ. It's about which competency the plumber have. So
right, he might have,
you need, for you, if you are doing any service, plumbing service, you need to be a master electrician or a companion.
But can you ask that? Can you ask for that when you call?
Of course, you can ask for his companion card. Now, he's allowed to have a trainee with him, But he is there supervising. It's like, you know, a doctor and
an intern.
And an intern. Same concept. An intern is not allowed to be alone on a site doing work for many reasons. One of them is experience and liability and everything else. But in certain calls, when they're overloaded, they might split their teams this way.
But then they charge you twice?
They charge you. Well, I mean, they're hoping that the intern can do it. And if they can't do it, okay, well, we'll send another person. This is very common, unfortunately, in this industry, and it happens all the time. So the way for you to kind of go around it is you ask if the guy is a companion, and if he says yes, he goes, do you mind if I see your card? You're allowed. And if he doesn't show you your card, you can actually make a complaint to the CMMTQ.
Does that help you? Does that help you out, Dave?
Yeah, and I really just wanted to, draw the comparisons, but my solutions was I looked over the shoulder and I saw how it was done and said, yeah, I could do this myself.
So. Well, there you go. There you have
Walter,
it, Dave.
Walter, just before I leave, you are a gem. I'm glad that we're not sharing you with the world yet because it's going to get really busy for you.
Dave, he's love blushing, you, by the way. He's blushing. Thank you can't you tell. So but Dave, thank you so much for your call. 514-790-0800. That's the best way to reach us on the telephone line. And you can also reach us on the text line. We have a texter coming, a text line that came in a little bit earlier. I see, we'll get to Robert in just a bit. He's still on the phone. The question is, Walter, is there any asbestos liner or liners in chimneys?
It depends. It's a good question. It depends when the chimneys were built. So if it's 50s, 60s.
Take sorry, a sip of that were, water. Take a sip of that water.
If it's in the 50s, 60s, it was very popular to use asbestos into almost everything. It was the best fiber ever known to man. It was inexpensive. It
people
was
were handling it without that's masks right. and gloves.
So they used to schlep it in the concrete and the stucco and the insulation, anything they could, the vinyl ties, anything they could, put asbestos fiber, they would, because it made the product stronger. Mm. It is a good product, except it kills you.
That's a big caveat, except that it kills you.
That's
yes.
right. So if you see any paneling or anything that is... in the brick, it's you're not going to find it. It's very rare. I've never seen it in brick before. I've seen it in concrete, in a concrete mix. So, I mean, that can get tested if you're not sure. I've seen it in cement board panels. That was also, or fiber board panels. That was also very common.
But typically in a chimney, you'd have to look, I guess, for the year that it was built.
That's right. It's rarer that I've seen it in a chimney, except, again, if you see any fiber board panel or anything that is a fire retardant dating back to 50s, 60s, 70s, even early 80s, even up to actually late 80s, I would say, then there might be asbestos in it.
Oh, the things we didn't know back then. All right, 514-790-0800. Your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your most pressing home improvement questions. Again, the phone is best, but if you can't, if you're too shy to get on the air, you can always text us. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. You're a chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your home improvement questions. Maybe you started a project and you don't know how to finish it. You don't know who to trust. We were just talking about scams in the industry. Who's been waiting longest? Robert is on the line, and Robert has a question about his AC dryer broken. I don't know what's written here. There's a lot of things written here. Robert, explain what's going on.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I always love listening to your program.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert.
So I have a 14-year-old heat pump, and the heat pump started to act erratically, the losing temperature, so I called a servicer, and they said that the dryer had sprung a leak and that the dryer had to be changed. Here's the concern. Is that he tells me that once the humidity has gotten into the unit, that even if I spend, I think it's $1,860 to repair the dryer and the gas that needs to be put back, that it may not be a viable repair. And I'd like to have your opinion on it, please.
What do you mean by the dryer?
He tells me that there is a dryer on the heat pump. I don't know any more than that. It's a York heat pump, and there's an external dryer unit, he tells me.
Okay. And is there any, you said there's a leak as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there, did he mention anything about the Freon or anything being discontinued as far as the Freon gas or anything like that?
No, he just said that he would replace. He actually said that the gas was not a danger, because I asked him if the leak was inside the house, if it was dangerous, and he said that it was. I could be wrong, but I think he said nitrogen.
I get that. It's not a danger, but I'm talking because some of the Freons in certain heat pumps is discontinued, so you can't even get that anymore.
He didn't say that.
Okay, good. Now, look, the idea behind a heat pump repair versus a heat pump replacement.
Mm-hmm.
A new heat pump is going to cost you anything between $4,000 to $5,000, depending on the brand and the size of the pump. Okay.
Okay.
And there are also subventions that you can get on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My issue with a 14-year-old heat pump is that, you know, and usually the compressor is guaranteed for 5 years. And it's getting up there in age that the compressor might break any year now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very, very expensive fix as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to go and dump a couple of thousands of dollars when the brand new one is about $4,000 to $5,000 and you're going to get subventions back makes sense. The other reason it makes sense, the fact that they are, your heat pump is probably working up to minus 12 now.
Yes.
And then your furnace kicks in.
Well, I have, it's all electric. 14 years ago, I switched to all electric. So there's an electric furnace inside.
Correct.
Which is the other issue, though, because you said that if I do change it, the new heat pumps would not be compatible with the present electric furnace, so I'd have to change both.
Not necessarily. Some of them are. So that's a study that you're... What I would start with is at least start with the same brand.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them could be compatible, right? You know, if you have a York, I will get a York, or you know, just make sure whatever you're going with as a heat pump, you know, is compatible with the furnace that you have. So that's the technician. If it's a good technician, he'll do that, and that's not going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm trying to go with this is right now you're being slammed into paying very high hydro bills for no reason.
Exactly.
The new heat pumps are going to work up to minus 35. So mm-hmm. your furnace becomes almost a novelty. You don't even, it barely kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you would pay your highest rates.
Yep.
So if you ask me, 1,800 versus 4,000 for a new heat pump, I'll tell you new heat pump all day long.
Okay.
Especially that you have no warranty that your compressor is not going to fail soon. It's a tired machine. 14 years old for a heat pump is up there in age.
Okay.
Robert, thank you so much for your call. I hope that helped you out.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. Motaz is on the line and a question about a water tank, I think. Can you hear us?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Take it away.
Yes. So we're going to be getting a geothermal system heat pump soon installed. We signed the contract, but we're still waiting for the installation. And we decided to go for the water tank to be connected to it, so it will heat the air and will heat the water at the same time. But what I would like to ask is basically advice on how to deal with the companies, because throughout the time before we got the that company, I realized that a lot of time I'm asking for a product, and they're saying this is the worst product ever. And then another company would say this is the best product. And then I realized that whoever is saying is the worst product is just because they don't want to install it. They don't want to have the headache of finding it because the distributor does not carry it. So they have to find another distributor. So now we're at a point where we chose the main unit. We chose to be connected to the water tank. But I would like to add some things to clean the air further, like, for example, UV light, bipolar ionization unit, a better filter system connected to the machine. And every time I talk to the company or other companies that deal with these systems, the air purifying additions, each one tells me that this is bad, and they don't have the patience to explain to me why they're saying it's bad or why they're saying it's good. So I'm just going nowhere, basically, and the installation is coming up, and we're still not decided on what the additions would be. What do I do with these companies?
Motaz, I think the question is what would Walter do?
Yes, please.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, because off air we were talking about, you know, the challenges of finding certain companies,
honest
certain trades,
honest people.
And that's right.
Yeah.
So here's the just so we can understand the big picture of what's going on. Each ventilation company have 3-4 brands, 2 brands that they work with, and that's their distribution. Hustle, if you wish. So some would work with York, other would work with Carrier, other would work with Goodman, and so on and so forth, right? And so if you were to come to a guy that sells Carrier and tell him, I want to have York, and he's like, oh my God, this is garbage, this is the worst. The reason he's saying that, is it really garbage? No. Is it the worst? No. It's because he wants to push his product, right?
Yes.
Having said that, there are brands out there that I would categorize them under the garbage column. I'm not going to name them on the air, but in most cases, it's not the case. They just want to push the product on you, and you know, the fact that you are asking them for a product that they don't distribute is just kind of blocking their sale, because they have no channel to go and buy this product. So if they're going to buy it, they're going to buy it at full price, which means they're not going to make money off you, right? They might make money in the installation, but not in the machine itself. So that I could discount immediately as fake news, as not right, as not really happening.
Okay.
And you can discount it for sure. The other thing that also take me to the other, if you want, subject, which you said that you installed a geothermal system.
We're still waiting for the installation date and the dredging and all that stuff.
Okay, that's what you were going with, a geothermal. Okay, so a geothermal is a very, very highly specialized system, and not every ventilation company offers that service.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a very specialized company in geothermal doing that, not someone that does it every time, every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I would interview a couple of companies that actually do just geothermal. I can even give you one that you might just call. Not I've, you know, I haven't tried them, but I know that they specialize in geothermal. And then you're going to ask them all these questions, okay? And you know, everything that you've said makes sense. There's no garbage or inefficiency in what you asked for. There's just a question of how many of these units have they installed. And if they haven't installed any, they tend to discount it as garbage and not good. And not efficient. So, you know, in a lot of cases, it doesn't make sense. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. All that you need is a good senior technician that have that work with these things, and then he can give you the right time of day.
Motaz, I hope that helps you out.
There's a company called 22 Degrees.
Okay.
Call them. I think they are really into geothermal. Interview them just to have, I interviewed one of their technicians. He was very knowledgeable, so maybe it will be a good start to answer some of your questions.
This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. We have time, I think, for two last calls before we wrap things up. Keith is on the line, and he's been waiting quite patiently, and he has a question about his heat pump. Keith, take it away.
Hi, Walter.
Hi.
Yeah. So I have a silly question.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for you. I am in the transition of changing my heating system in my house from an old oil furnace. And so presently I'm looking at a heat pump. However, I thought What about just putting heat baseboards? Now, I know you don't like those things because I've heard previous shows, and I know your dislike for them. But cost-wise, what would be better?
Cost-wise, if you're using the heat pump for heat, it will be the heat pump all day, all night, all seasons, up and down. So you'll actually be saving
money. Yeah, right, for air conditioning.
No, no, for everything.
Okay.
For everything, including heating. Because, again, new heat pumps, minus 35. You're getting a healthier version, and you're saving money in the process, and you're getting subventions from the government as well doing it. So it's a win for you. Okay. And you could use it as an air conditioning in the summer, which will decrease the humidity in the house, which means you are conserving a lot of the house elements by keeping your humidity in check. High humidity in a home tend to wreak havoc on a lot of things. So, you know, by not dehumidifying in the summer, you're not doing your home a favor either. So you're saving money on energy. You're saving, you have a healthier way of heating and cooling your home.
All right.
Okay, Keith, thank you so much for that call.
Sorry to disappoint you, Keith, but you're not going to ever convince me to put baseboards, ever.
No, that's one of the only times I hear you use the H word, hate. He hates the baseboards. Sherry is on the line. Sherry texted in with a lengthy paragraph, so I suggested that Sherry just call in to ask Walter her question. Sherry, take it away.
Okay, hi. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm in a condo, and we have a small English courtyard in the front of the building. And we did renos last year, and we redid the courtyard, and they've poured a cement wall around the courtyard with four or five stairs going down into the garden level. However, they did like a really bad job on the cement, and it was all very rough, and they polished it, and they tried to put, like, I guess, like, stucco or crepe on it, and now it's all chipping off. And we're wondering how we can fix that without actually having to do, is it possible to fix it without having to redo the cement completely?
What's chipping off the crepe?
Yeah.
Oh, like absolutely. Stucco. So how long after the cement was poured was the crepe done?
Oh, geez. It wasn't right away, but I'm not really sure of the timeline.
Was it days? Was it months? Was it years?
It could have been weeks. I would say weeks.
Okay. Yeah. So it could be just a case of a bad application. So, I mean, a crepe can be taken out and fixed. So it's because it's a what it is, it's a thin layer of mortar, a finished layer, really, that, you know. So, and the application could be have been done wrong. Now, if you find that this is a problem that persists, then you can maybe transition to epoxy resin, which will last a lot longer, and it actually looks a lot better.
Epoxy resin, okay.
Yeah.
We had, like in the stairs, we noticed before they covered it up, we noticed that there were pieces of wood mixed in with the cement. So now there were cracks along the side where they've put some silicone, which is also coming off now.
Pieces of wood mixed with the cement. That can't be good.
No, exactly, because it shrinks and expands with the weather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
what could have happened, and that's unfortunately a very common mistake that is done by cement trades, they do use wood forms to pour their concrete. And more often than not, they reuse those wood forms a lot more than they should. And then those root, every time you use them, you have all of that wood peeling, because now the wood form is old. And it starts mixing in the concrete itself.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
And that is really bad. You're absolutely right, because, you know, it's all what you want to see in the concrete is the gravel and the concrete. You don't want to see anything else. And that becomes a material in there that shouldn't be there. It rots, expands, it contracts, and it could affect the integrity. It depends how much of that have ended up in the mix.
So the solution would be like they would have to sand everything down?
No, I mean, look, at this point, if you find that this is going to be a chronic issue due to a bad preparation from the beginning that's going to keep on reoccurring, first off, if it happened last year, it should be under warranty, so they should come back and redo it.
Yeah.
And let's say they redo it and that doesn't work, then you have to transition into the epoxy resin. It's more expensive, but it will last you for years, and it's much nicer looking.
Okay, great. And so that would you would cover the entire surface with this.
That is correct. That is correct. And what's the good thing with it is you have any color you want, and you know it does look a lot cleaner than concrete, to be quite frank with you.
Sherry, thank you so much for calling in. I did appreciate the text message, although when I had to turn the page, I realized it was it was time for you to call.
It was copy paste.
Love it. All right. I hope that helped you out. Thank you to Sherry. Thank you to all of you for calling in, for texting in. If you missed your chance to speak to Walter, remember, you can head on over to the Renovco website. Click on the button to ask Walter. Thank you, Walter.
Thank you for coming.
I live here now. All right. We'll chat again next week.